IPAV, that's the Institute of Professional Auctioneers and Valuers, was established in 1971 as a representative professional body for qualified, licensed auctioneers, property service providers, valuers and estate agents throughout Ireland. It currently has over 1,400 members and the National Council with 20 elected members representing all four provinces of the country. It, of course, has been headed up by local man, Castle Pollard's Pat David, for the past 10 years. And just this week, Pat has announced his intention to step down from his role at IPAV after almost a decade there at the helm. Very good evening, Pat.
Good evening, Roland. Thanks very much for inviting me on your programme.
Not at all, Pat. You have been a regular contributor to Taking Care of Business and indeed to Midlands Today with Will Faulkner over the years and really been that voice. And it was always great to have a local voice at national level. Can you take us through your time at IPAV? What was it like when you first took the role as CEO 10 years ago? And what were the kind of milestone things that come to mind?
I suppose when you look back, looking back 10 years is a very short amount of time, believe it or believe it not, but to live it, I suppose, is a long, long time, and to look it on again for up for the 10 years is a long, long time to look on as well. But when I went to IPAV first, there were about 700 members there. It was a national organisation, but the valuation standards we didn't have any. Regulation was just after coming in 2012, which we never really had regulation in the auctioneering professions before, even though I was actually a part of that from the time that the first review group was set up in 2004 to right, the time the board then was set up. As we know, the PSRA now was set up, and I did a seven-year stint on that. But so that you can imagine an institute at that time in the middle of the property fallout that was after happening from 2006 right up to 2013, the banking tribunal was taking place, and there was all sorts of recriminations against auctioneers and valuers and no valuation standards and all this type of thing. So it was a strange time, interesting time, but a strange time. And it was a time that was going to change, and it was going to change for IPAV and its members, or else that they would have had to go someplace else, or they wouldn't be in business one or the other, because standards that came following that from auctioneering and from valuation, I suppose, is the cornerstone of really where we are today and how IPAV became so prominent and became so important to auctioneers and valuers throughout the country.
You introduced the Blue Book, the European Valuation Standard, around 2013. How much of a task was that to do, or was it something that people were maybe crying out for and readily willing to adopt?
Well, it was a huge task because there was no standard in IPAV at the time. There was another body at the time, the IAVI, but they had joined up with the Chartered Surveyors from 2011, and they used the Red Book valuation, which typically would be known as British valuation standards. And we obviously had a blank sheet of paper, and we're looking at, we had to get valuation standards for our members because it was coming down the line, the Mortgage Credit Directive. And if valuers didn't have valuation standards, they weren't going to get valuations from financial institutions. So we had to have some form of valuation standards. So we looked at the Red Book as to what the situation was going to be with them. And we were slightly afraid that England was going to leave Europe and cut itself off. And if it did that, we would be cut off with the Red Book standards as well, because there are a lot of, obviously through the European Central Bank, there's a lot of valuations coming through, not alone, I suppose, Spanish and European banks, but also the Irish banks were all tired of the one stick because they were all coming from, the regulation was coming from the European Central Bank. So we looked at the European valuation standards off the Blue Book, and we felt that was the one. But introducing a new standard into Ireland, it's not just that simple, because you have to get it approved by the Central Bank. And when you have it approved, then you have to get government to, as we did, get it put into legislation. And from there, then, you have to encourage people to use it, and you have to train people to be able to use it. So it's not a mean task, a small task by any means. So it took a long time in itself, because you can imagine going around to different organisations, firstly the Central Bank, and in fairness to them, they gave us a certain amount of time to bring in the standards off the Blue Book, which we did. And then they accepted them, which was a big thing from our point of view, because now all of a sudden the Central Bank had accepted two different valuation standards, the Blue Book and the Red Book, and our valuers had the Blue Book. But then we had to start training them. And again, that took quite a bit of time. And it took quite a bit of, I suppose, from auctioneers' points of view and valuers' points of view, it was a completely different scenario where they had to write valuations standards and prove methodologies and how they did their valuation and how they came to the conclusion of the figures and everything. And it's something that a lot of valuers weren't used to. So that had to be all done, and then we had to get, as they encourage banks, to instruct us to use them. And again, that's not simple, because if banks are continuously instructing a particular valuation standard and now they have to change to use a second one, it's a bit of a problem. And the Mortgage Credit Directive, when it came along the way, again, we had to encourage the government. They brought in MSI to cover the valuation standards, but we had to encourage them to make sure that the Blue Book was included in it. So between all of these meetings, we got all of those situations, we got them covered off, and hence we have the Blue Book valuation standards today, and we probably have the largest group of trained valuers in Ireland to the Blue Book valuation standards. So it's good for valuers.
That whole area of education, training, and, you know, increasing and growing professional standards was something that you were, you know, very much committed to in your 10 years.
Yeah, I was very much committed to it because I saw the need for this. Like, you know, a lot of auctioneers at the time when I took over in IPAV, they weren't speaking to their neighbours, and none of them were being sort of educated on a yearly basis and being brought up to standards of what was going on in both auctioneering and indeed in valuation. So I wanted to set up a situation where valuers would train, and they would do a certain amount of CPD, continued professional development each year, 20 hours as it turned out. But alongside of that, the regulator for the property service providers said you must do 5 hours of regulation for us, training for us as well. So I suppose auctioneers were hit and valuers were hit, and from all sides then with education, where all, there was none at one stage, and all of a sudden there was quite a lot of it. And we're still obviously training today, and with IPAV is a huge part of what we do. Like, when I went there, we had a course running to train auctioneers, and there was 12 or 13 people on it. Students. Like, last Saturday I was in Tala and I addressed 100 new students on that same course for the coming year, and we've just taken on 100 new students on it last year as well. So that the education part, and for, especially for younger people and members who have children and maybe siblings coming along the way that wants to get into the business, it's a huge part for that fraternity to get trained and to get experienced and to get into the business.
And of course, late last year, people remember too, IPAV had, it was a very significant development for IPAV with the introduction of its first ever bill, the Seller's Legal Pack for Property Buyers Bill, was introduced to the Oireachtas. And again, we're going to touch on some of the challenges that are out there at the minute for the housing market, but this was really trying to tackle one, and particularly an expedited, not even an expedited, sorry, an overlong process in trying to secure and get all the relevant documentation for houses. How significant was it getting this bill through?
Well, we didn't get the bill through. We got the first reading on the bill, and we're waiting to get the second reading on the bill, where it will need support of a majority of the Oireachtas members in the Dáil. But we believe that that support is there and should be there, because what it's going to do is all of the documents, when you put your property on the market at the moment, the auctioneer more than likely doesn't know, even regardless of the fact if they do some searches, don't know in actual fact that that property can be sold. So the bill that we're speaking about, it gathers all of the legal documents together before such time as the property goes to the market. And that makes sure that the property can be sold. But it also means that the work that has been needed to be done now when the sale happens is now completed up front. And those legal documents, including contracts of sale, planning documents, etc., are all put in the solicitor's data room or the auctioneer's data room. And they're there for people who want to buy and look at that property and to see the documentation, and it's there. So when you sell the property, then the documents are all together and the sale can happen, and happen quite simply, the conveyance part of it. So we're hoping to cut the average time for a sale like this is somewhere in the region of 20 to 25 weeks, and we're hoping to cut that down to 8 or 10 weeks.
Absolutely. And again, and yeah, bring it more in line with the standards and in other countries there too. And so, Pat, just as, while I have you on, I mean, you haven't stepped down yet, so we can still throw a few questions at you there. With the budget coming up in the next week or two, are you expecting any measures to be brought in that are going to help maybe renters or people who are desperately trying to get onto the property ladder?
Well, I suppose we're expecting measures from a tax point of view for landlords. And that is one big thing that is a gaping problem in the marketplace at the moment, because many, many landlords are leaving the marketplace. And obviously, the more landlords that leave, the more difficult it is for people to get on the property ladder, even to rent a property, never mind to buy one. So we're hoping there's going to be some sort of a tax treatment, a fair tax treatment of smaller landlords, because at the moment they're paying over 50% tax, and a lot of these funds who are renting properties are paying very little, if in most cases no tax. So it's very unequitable at the moment. And we're hoping that this will encourage landlords to actually stay in the marketplace and not leave it, and hence have properties there for people to rent. But I suppose the getting on the market, or getting on to buy a property, we're hoping that the First Home Buyers Grant is going to remain in place, and we've asked for it to remain in place for a further 3 years. We don't know that that's going to be the case, but certainly it has been very, very helpful to first home buyers, and we've asked also for that to be extended to second hand homes. And we've asked for grants to be made available for the purchase of derelict homes and for vacant homes. There's over 100,000 of these throughout the country, and if these were brought back into production, it would mean a huge amount of properties on the market for people to buy so to get on the property ladder. And if the government put a grant out there to help these people to buy the property, not to do it up, but to buy it, it would be a huge help to that fraternity that wants to buy those properties. And I think that would be a big deal in itself. Government has to think outside the box, unfortunately.
And there seems to be a huge amount of logic to that, because it might be a cheaper property in the first instance, so therefore there's more, might be more money available to actually do it up and renovate it. So it sounds like a potential win-win for everybody. Pat, thank you so much for coming on this evening as well, and delighted to mark the occasion where you've announced that your intention to step down at the end of the year. We'll see whether that changes as the year goes on. But I suppose from everybody, thank you so much for being always a willing contributor over the last number of years on taking care of business, and all the very best in your business as you go forward yourself.
Ron, thank you very much indeed. I really appreciate it. Thank you.
At all. Thank you, Pat. Pat Davitt there from Castle Pollard is the CEO of the Institute of Professional Auctioneers and Valuers, and always a knowledgeable voice on all matters property do. And as you can just get a flavour there, some huge kind of milestones and significant achievements in his 10 years. He's not finished yet anyway. We'll leave him a few more months, and we might check in on him again later in the year.